Okay, great. We like to record these conversations because then people, if they have a staff meeting or something comes up, they can always get the recording. One of the other things we do is we write post-session notes and send them to everyone. And before we get into it, I'm going to explain a little bit about how the professional learning communities work. We call them PLCs, and it's an extremely loose, informal group of people who are interested in our case, in job training, particularly in environmental job training. And we like to keep these conversations fairly short, but we like to have them about every 2 weeks, and we talk at that time about whatever is on people's minds. We tend to have a loose agenda that varies as we go through the series. We usually have these in series of 10 conversations. So every 2 weeks now for the next 10 sessions, we'll be meeting on Wednesday from 2 to 2:30. And it's just a phone in, and we'll talk about what's relevant at the time. One of the things we do is we talk about upcoming meetings. We'll talk about what we've heard from EPA. Sometimes we'll have some EPA people join in. When we get close to the RFP coming out, someone just joined? Okay.
Hi, did someone just join?
Okay, well, that's fine. As we get closer to the RFP coming out, we start to review some of the issues that are in the RFP and what they're about. The purpose of these calls isn't a pre-grant writing briefing or anything like that. It's basically they're calls on how you can make your program better. If you have a program already, and we've got today on the line two calls, both in Durham, who is a very experienced program, and the Hunters Point family, which are new to the program, we talk about how you might set your program up, and we try to get hints from people who have established programs. In fact, we'll have people on like OAI or JFY who have had these programs for 10 or 12 years and have a lot of experience in recruitment, training, screening, placement, things like tryouts in terms of picking their people, the techniques they've used, assessment tools they've used, placement techniques, and about curriculum. And we try to share experiences, and then a lot of times people will have questions that we may be able to answer within our group at that time, or we may put in the post-session notes a more extensive review of that, or we may go to EPA and pass along the questions that we might not be able to answer and get a definitive answer from EPA. So the purpose of this is to give people a peer group to talk to regarding environmental job training, how to set up their program, how to make it better if they've got a program. And we invite you to invite people along and join in. Anyone you know that may be interested in this, you can get them on our list so they'll get the announcements. Probably the thing that is on the burner right now will be the new RFP coming out. And then, of course, also, as we go along, the interesting thing about these calls are what we cover in our professional learning communities are basically the same things you need to do to develop a good program. And so they're pretty much consistent with each other. Those who don't have grants, if they come to the RFP, to the PLCs and listen to our program, they're a little bit better informed in terms of writing their proposals. And those who have programs, as they go along, they can ask questions about maybe an instrument they use or some resource that they may need and that type of thing. So with that, we usually start out with some general announcements. And Glow usually heads this up by talking to us about what's happening in Washington, one, and two, what's happening in the next 3 weeks, which is pretty relevant in terms of the annual meeting. So, Glow, do you want to give us a briefing on anything you've heard from Joe or anyone in Washington?
I had a brief conversation with Joe yesterday, and the main point that he's trying to get out right now is that they have major budget cuts going on. He tells me that the budget cuts are very real this time. How that's going to affect this program, I have no idea. There's no word on when the next RFP is coming out, but I do know that he is drafting it now. So, you know, hopefully it'll be soon, but I don't have a date on that at all. The other thing that Mike was talking about is the upcoming grantee meeting. And active PLC members are invited to attend. This is a meeting where we bring together all of the EPA-funded grantees that have active, inactive, whatever kind of job training program that they have. And they come together and learn from each other. The new grantees mixed with the old grantees, mixed with EPA headquarters, mixed with EPA regions. It's just a big mixture of people, and it's a very informal, open discussion type meeting. We have small group discussions, breakout rooms, based on the topics that the grantees have sent in that they want to talk about. So the entire meeting is based around their needs. And like I said, PLC members are invited to attend. The deadline to register and get a hotel reservation, though, is coming up next week. So decisions need to be made soon. With our cooperative agreement, we are able to pay for two nights lodging for people from out of town. The rest of the expenses are up to the participant, but that's a good deal. The meeting is being held in Alexandria, Virginia. Anything else, Mike? Right now we have about 85 people registered.
Yes, it's a and it's an intensive meeting. You come in one day. You could come in early if you want to sign up for a briefing on health and safety boot camp. Basically, we have people from NIHS come in and give about 6 hours of review of all of the health and safety aspect 1910-120 and the associated issues. And they do a very good job of talking about the latest regs and respiratory protection, confined space, and going through it. And it gives you a great opportunity to bone up, particularly project officers who may not necessarily be techies or involved in this, may want to get a feel for the technical aspects of one of the mandatory courses, which is the HAZWOPR course. And they can ask a whole lot of questions in terms of that. There'll be about 20 or 30 people in the room, and very expert presenters who really know everything about the regs. And it's a good chance to give yourself a real briefing. When you leave this, you'll have a good feel of HAZWOPR and the intricacies of and the key components of HAZWOPR. So I would recommend that to anyone new. And so what you do is come in a day early or come in that morning, go to that briefing.
Yeah, the safety course goes from 11 to 4 that day on Monday.
Right. And if, you know, if you can take an early flight out, just come right into the meeting and bring your suitcase. You usually can't check into the hotel till the afternoon, so you can just bring your suitcase into the room. It's fairly informal. And attend the session and check in. And then that evening we start our registrations. And of course, we get started right away. And that night, that first night's fairly important. We have, are we going to have the EPA speakers the first night?
Joe is lining up a bunch of the people from the different departments that are now involved in this program and has asked them to do just a brief overview of the department where they come from. I know that he's working on that, and I know that Maddie Stanislaw has been invited. They're trying to get him there. Along with David Lloyd and Gail Cooper. I'm not sure when Maddie, David, and Gail will be able to be there, if it's going to be on Monday night or if it's going to be on Tuesday morning, but all three, at least two of them will be there, possibly three.
These are the people at the top of the program. Matthew, of course, the assistant administrator, We've gotten support for this program from the top, and usually Matthew was involved in job training and has favored this program since its inception. He's been big in environmental justice and has supported this program a lot. David Lloyd has been a tremendous supporter, again, from the very beginning. And, of course, Gail is newer to the program and coming in. But these are the headquarters people who are basically trying to expand it slightly, get new partners, keep the funding going. They're concerned with the overall direction of the program. And this, they're fairly important in terms of keeping the funded program. The next group of people that will also be there will be all of the regional reps. And the regional reps are the people that you'll be mostly in touch with, Region 4 or 5. All of the regions will be there. And this will give you a really good opportunity if you haven't talked to them one-on-one. It's in their best interest to get to know you personally, and you'll have a chance to talk to them. And, in fact, GLOW has arranged the tables so that you're all going to sit together. So it'll be great. It's a great time to see other people in your region who will be around the table, and you'll be able to talk to each other so that when you leave the program that day, you'll be able to call them up and talk to them about things you discussed during the workshop, which is the whole reason for bringing everyone together so people could interact after it's over. So that first night is very important. In that it gives, it's more than a mixer. It's a chance to meet the people at the highest level who are funding the program, and it gives a chance to meet one-on-one at a table setting only with your regional rep and three or four other people who may be in your region. It will also give you a chance to meet and get introduced to the different programs that are funding this. Originally, the job training program, it was called originally the Brownfields Job Training Program, was funded by Office of Solid Waste Emergency Response. It was just one office within EPA, and they got their money from the Congress through a bill called CERCLA. And within CERCLA, there was a little phrase that allowed them to appropriate some money for training. So it was a very small program within the small office of EPA. Now, this started... We actually started in the 90s. It became more formalized in the mid-90s. And then around 2002 actually became a institutionalized program, a full program of brownfields training. But it kind of remained in the Office of Solid Waste Emergency Response until last year. And Matthew, because of his influence, felt that there really wasn't any other training program within EPA to train people in communities. So they have one or two other programs, some geared at federal facilities and some geared through the private sector. It's through a program called Superfund. But there isn't another program like this that trains people. There isn't another agency called NIHS. You may be familiar with that. They are funded quite differently. They have several very large grantees, primarily organized labor, and then also PEAT, which is associated with HMTRI. These are very large programs who then work with training providers. But that's not within EPA. We work very closely with NIHS. They're kind of a sister program, and we'll be talking about that at the Alexandria Conference. But basically, within EPA, this represents about the only community-based training program. So Matthew and David felt that they needed to try to expand this for a whole lot of reasons. And they were successful. They went from just off-site worst emergency response to about half a dozen offices. And those of you, you know, as you read the EPA, you probably were overwhelmed by all the acronyms of different offices, ORCR, OSRT, FFR. EPA is famous for acronyms, but these are Resource Conservation Recovery Office, Office of Underground Storage Tanks, Office of Wastewater Management, Office of Chemical Safety and Pollution Prevention, Office of Emergency Management. They all decided to join in on this community training program, and to some extent they each threw in some money. And this is why when you read your proposals, you saw this mandatory program training, and you also saw this thing in the proposal about having to train, at least on a superficial level, a number of training in all of these areas. And this sort of intimidated a lot of people, but the intent of this was, because of all these offices contributing to this job training program money, they felt it was important that at least we provide awareness training in all of these areas. So somewhere in your program, and we're going to talk about this in later PLCs, somewhere in your program you're going to want to devise a course that's, there's two ways of doing it. You devise a course that becomes an awareness training course in some of these areas, or you incorporate them in your current course. And of course, depending on how you wrote your proposal, the biggie here is probably wastewater treatment. There's a lot of the programs have wastewater treatment programs because there are a huge number of jobs in this area, a lot of municipal jobs. That's new to this program this year. But some of these other ones are more obscure, like the chemical safety and emergency management and facilities restoration, federal facilities. Those are, it's not that you need a course on those, but they'll be integrated and you'll be developing some awareness training into those courses. But all of those people will be there. And the nice thing about the Alexandria conference is it is for grantees, their project officers, and the EPA people, and it's a chance to discuss your issues. One of the big things that always comes up every year is, of course, is acres, and we're going to, GLOW's working on that now in terms of having two sessions. Those experienced grantees who are used to reporting acres, acres is a federal reporting system, so you could report who you recruited and who you trained and who was placed. And then those people who are new to this program, and how to use the ACRES program. So that'll also be discussed at the annual meeting. So that's pretty much what's going on in Washington. And again, today we're just doing an introductory PLC to talk about what we're going to be discussing in the next 10 sessions. And, of course, another thing that we're going to want to talk about as we go is our resources. And we're going to be suggesting organizations you may want to join if you're new to the program, different groups you may want to go to, meetings at different conferences that may come up, and we'll also be putting those in the notes. And, of course, the other big meeting that will occur not till next year will be the annual Brownfields Conference, which is this year going to be held in Atlanta on May 15th. And that's that is not like a grantees meeting. It's a huge meeting, several thousand people, 3,000 to 4,000 people meeting in Atlanta. And these are people from all over the world basically interested in brownfields. And there we have the bankers, and we have the job trainers, and we have the cleanup people, and it's a huge conference. I expect HMTRI and NIHS will be having sessions and job training and that type of thing. So that, but we'll keep you informed on that. Another group that we will probably be telling you about and bringing up is the Green Jobs Initiative. They are not part of EPA or NIHS, but they're very much interested in green jobs, which is a bigger environmental jobs. It would be a subset of the green jobs movement, which is, and they usually have meetings in February, and they'll have local meetings going on through the years. So that kind of gives you an overview of how the federal government fits into this whole thing and how that flows down to the various offices within EPA and how they funded this program. And then, of course, the people you'll be interacting with will be the regional people. And we've got the people on the line today. We've got some. Have you both met with your regional reps yet? Durham and Hunters Point, have you both talked to your regional people?
I can say that we have had some electronic communication and via telephone, but not a face-to-face meeting yet in Durham.
I'm sorry. Were you there? Hello?
Yes. Have you all met with the regional rep yet?
I believe so. We've met with a few people from EPA. So we have our program officer, I guess, with Carolyn. Is that our regional rep? And we have Wally Wu, and we also have Jared Blumenfeld. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, those would be your regional reps.
Okay.
They're all from Region 9.
Wally is great, and Catherine is great in Region 4. You both are fortunate to have excellent regional reps. They have been around since the beginning of the program. And one thing that I learned working with EPA over the years is it's in their best interest to be on your side. They're not your adversaries. They're your friends, because when you look good, they look good, and they want to look good. So I found that originally you might feel that they might be adversarial and be barking off, why did you do this or do that? But the reality is they're really want to make you look good. So I would say the closer you get to them, the more it'll help you. They can introduce you to people and give you some great ideas. They're really great people. Wally is great, and Kathleen is awesome. She's just a super lady. And they'll both be at the workshop. Have they both signed up, Glow?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, Wally has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Kathleen, if you're talking about that.
Yes.
Jason, are you Jason Wimmer?
Yes, Jason.
Yes,
sure.
Pardon me?
It's Wimmer.
Okay, yeah. So you're going to be there. You've registered for the meeting too, so that's great.
I am looking forward to it, yes.
Yeah, you'll walk away with more than you can imagine stuffed in your head.
If you can get to the early session too, I'm not sure what your schedule is going to be. But it's actually a pretty easy drive up there, and although you'd have to start real early if you were going to make it to that. But definitely recommend going to that early session. So that would be great. We spent most of the day today just talking about the generalities, and which is what we wanted to do is talk, because this is the first session of the PLC. For this round, as I say, the next one's going to be on the 12th of September, and it'll be the same time, same place for 30 minutes. And what I would like to do, if Lena and Melody are going to be available, do you think you all will be available on the 12th to talk about Hunter's Point? And one of the things I'd like to do is talk about your experiences. You're coming from a community group, and we talk a little bit about what happened at Hunter's Point and what's been happening and how your plans are and how you worked with the nearby grantee to develop your program. Do you think that would be okay with you all?
Sure. Yeah, That would be an honor to be able to
okay.
Share that.
Well, let's plan on that. And the next time, and it's as you see how informal these are, we'll just talk about what I'd like to do is talk about for people who are thinking of starting new programs, how you all got the idea and what you're thinking of doing when you started this grant and some of the obstacles you were up against in developing this grant, and then how you partnered with some of the partners in your community and some of the obstacles you ran into. And we'll discuss that at the next PLC. And
yeah, that would be wonderful.
That would be great. You've got an interesting story in my mind. Hunter's Point started probably 15 years ago when they decided to renovate that area. And, of course, it's still a hot political item, isn't it, and still on the burner. And,
It's at its boiling point right now. Literally, that's the point where it's going to shift its form now from water to steam. It, you know, things are, we're right at that point. It's happening for us. So it ought to be a real kind of interesting thing historically.
And you've got an interesting community, and the challenge you're going to be holding your community together. And what happens in Hunter's Point is very typical of many brownfields communities. I mean, it applies to Durham, too. You've got demographics and gentrification going on where people who are in the community and have lived in the community when it was not as nice a place, now there's a chance for them to benefit, and then they're being squeezed out. And this is all about environmental justice, and it's all about what can we do to help these communities and help the people who have really invested their whole lives in these communities when things weren't going so great. And now, you know, resources are coming in, and how do we hold this community together and keep them in place so they can benefit from the improving and the improvements that are coming in, you know, and all these resources. And this is kind of what brownfields is all about, is how do we keep our community intact when all of a sudden the rest of the world, who didn't care about us when we were polluted, but now they see us as prime property and they want to help us. And everyone wants to help us, but how do we get help without being pushed out? And, you know, helping us isn't bringing your own contractors in and bringing your high-paid consultants in and then pushing us out because we can't afford the rents. So, I think what you all are doing is very key to this whole environmental justice movement. So,
thank you. It's amazing to hear you, somebody from the outside, articulate it like that. You know, because we know, but everyone, you know, that's exactly what's happening, and you wouldn't know it to hear anybody in government or anybody else talk about it, you know, but that's absolutely the reality. So just thank you for saying that.
Well, and the thing about it is from afar we see it. It's more difficult when you're up on the firing lines and you're right in that community because we, you know, it seems to, from us from a distance, it seems, gee, you know, they should be able to do this, but when there's money on the line and all the political interests, things get distorted, and this is a real challenge. And even in Alexandria, I think there'll be a lot of interesting discussion on environmental justice and preserving communities. So I think this is going to be a very important topic, I think, in the coming year. So one of the things we do is we try to hold to this 30 minutes so that we don't take everyone's afternoon. So with that, why don't we kind of see you all in 2 weeks. And on September 12th, we'll be sending out some post-session notes. And we'll see who joins us in then and talk about Hunter's Point.
Okay. And, Mike, when you send out those post-session notes, could you please also include the invitation for the grantee meeting? And the deadline for that is coming up next week, like I said before. So when you get that from Mike, if you are interested in attending and you have not yet registered, please send that registration form to me as soon as you can.
Okay. We'll do it. You all have a good couple of weeks then.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.